Mark felt conspicuous filling the pitcher with water from the well not far from the water gate. He prayed no one would recognize him and demand to know why he was doing the work of a woman. At the appointed hour, Peter and John approached, Peter with a dead lamb over his shoulders, dried blood staining his garment. Mark could tell by how the men looked at each other, nodding and raising their brows, that they were surprised it was he they were to follow. Neither spoke as they followed at a distance, until they came within the shadows afforded by the olive trees lining the portal of Mark's home. "Mary," they said in unison when Mark's mother appeared. She directed them to the great room, where a servant took the lamb, and Mary signaled Mark to fill a basin with water and also to pour them cups to drink. As they drank, she washed their feet with the water from the basin. Peter said, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" Mary nodded to her son as she finished drying the men's feet. They stepped into their sandals and followed Mark up an outer staircase to the spacious area atop the house, made airy by arched openings in the walls. The servants had already set the large dining table up there with the finest candles and dishware in the house and encircled it with reclining couches. Not far from a grate over a fire of coals, the lamb lay on a wooden preparation table, upon which were also arrayed knives, bread dough, wine, and bitter herbs. Peter whispered to a servant, "And for the haricot?"
"Yes," Mark said, embarrassed. "Fetch the ingredients now," he ordered the servant.
The man hurried off, and Peter drew Mark aside.
"Son, a word," he said. "Remember that these are serving not only you, but also us and the teacher. They deserve our respect."
"But Mother had instructed them to have ready everything you need to prepare the..."
"We are all but men, John Mark, capable of mistakes."
"But we want everything perfect for..."
"And it will be. That is why we are here now. By the time the others arrive, all will be made ready."
Mark felt his face redden.
"Forgive me."
Peter threw an arm around Mark. "Fret not. I too have had to learn to treat all the way the Master treats me. It has been a hard lesson." Standing so close to Peter, Mark could tell he had strapped a heavy sword and scabbard inside his tunic.
"You carry a weapon?"
Peter held a finger to his lips.
"One cannot be too careful."
The servant returned with dried fruit, spices, pomegranates, nuts, dates, and a goblet of vinegar. He bowed, eyes downcast, and appeared surprised when young Mark thanked him profusely.
"Now leave us," Peter said, "as we prepare the meal."
As the other disciples began to arrive, in pairs or small groups, the servants were pressed into assisting Mary and Mark in welcoming them, washing their feet, giving them water, and directing them upstairs. Simon, Thomas, and Philip arrived together, and several minutes later, Matthew and Judas Iscariot. James, the brother of John, Andrew, the other Judas, and Bartholomew were next, and finally the other James accompanied Jesus. Mark had long been fascinated by these men, all about twice his age, save John, just 10 years older. Some, like Judas Iscariot and Andrew, were friendlier than others. Some, like Matthew, kept to themselves. Though Mark knew Peter best, he also found Judas and Andrew personable and animated. He was drawn to Jesus, as most seemed to be, and yet Mark also felt most self-conscious when he had the teacher's attention. The man seemed to study his face and truly listen to every word, somehow making Mark feel as if he hardly had anything of import to say. He also felt somehow unworthy in the man's presence, as if Jesus knew what kind of a person Mark really was. Had his mother told him of his propensity for deceit, for conceit, of his impatience, his temper? This evening, however, Mark didn't have to worry about Jesus' searching eyes. The teacher and all the rest seemed pensive and secretive. For a man so revered and reviled, so appealing and yet feared, Jesus certainly did not appear out of the ordinary. Yes, he carried himself with a quiet confidence and authority, and if Mark could believe Peter's stories, Jesus was nothing if not fearless. He was by no means the tallest of the 13. That honor fell to the reserved Matthew. Nor was he attractive, as were Bartholomew and John. Jesus was vigorous and appeared strong-looking, no surprise for a man who had been a carpenter. But to have become the center of so much attention, it didn't make sense to Mark, at least from the man's appearance. Listening to him, though, was another matter. The young man relished the opportunity, after his duties had been fulfilled, to sit at the top of the stairs, just out of sight behind the door, and simply listen. By the end of the evening, he would hear and see more than he had ever dreamed, even in his worst nightmare.